Psalm 5 is going to be our text as we launch off into this. I'll tell you what the title of the message is in just a couple of minutes. But as I was praying and seeking the Lord, see what He'd have me share with you this morning, I'll tell you, this was just something that was being quickened in my heart. Maybe it was something that I needed more than you. I don't know. But I think that it's going to be something that every one of us needs. It's going to be something that will build you up. And really, it's a theme that we find throughout the Word of God, whether it's be the Old Testament or the New Testament. This theme is something that we find throughout. And I know that it's going to encourage you today. But let's look at the fifth Psalm, and we're going to read verse 12, and then we're going to look on the big screen. We're going to see it from another translation. Notice what it says. Psalm 5 and verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Everybody say, with favor. I want to talk to you this morning about walking in the favor of God. Walking in the favor of God. And even as we approach the end of this month and we're going to be talking about prayer, we're going to be seeking the Lord together, those of us that are going to gather together, I believe that it is so important, even in respect to prayer, that we have an understanding that those that are righteous, and we're going to deal with this more and more today, those that are righteous find favor with God. Amen. And so because there's fewer here, you're going to have to kick up your excitement level just to help me out. Is that all right? All right. All right. Let's look at the big screen. Let's see how it says it in the Amplified Bible. It says it this way. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Pleasure and favor. And so the righteous, we're going to talk about the righteous in a little while. But let's just look at a few things pertaining to this as far as definitions go. Let's go to the next frame. And from the American Heritage Dictionary, the English word for favor means a friendly attitude. Now remember, this has to do with God having favor for His people. A friendly attitude, an act of kindness, an indulgence, a friendly regard shown by a superior, approval. I want you to know that God approves of you if you're born again today. Now, He may not approve of everything you do or everything you think or everything you say, but nevertheless, as a person, God approves of you. If you have received Christ, if you become a new creature in Christ, if you've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, then God has approval for you. Amen? All right. And so there's approval, support, to like. Somebody said, well, you know, I know God loves me, but do you know He likes you? To like, to find favor with someone means you have a liking for them as well. And so to like and to aid or facilitate. Look at it in the Hebrew definition of the word as we find it here in Psalm 5. The Hebrew word means pleasure. God takes pleasure in you. Say, God takes pleasure in me. Delight, favor, the Hebrew word translated as favor means all these things. It means goodwill, acceptance, there it is as well. We said approval, but how about acceptance? You know, a lot of times Christians, for whatever reason, they don't realize, and they walk in this mindset of rejection. They walk in this mindset of inferiority. They walk in this mindset that thinks that they're no good or not worthy or nothing like that. And yet God says that for the righteous, there is acceptance and there is favor. And so therefore, you're none of those things I already mentioned. You're not inferior. You know, you could say, well, I'm inferior to God. Well, you know, you're created in His image and likeness, but in the sense that He's your Father, let's say. All right, but not in a way that means you're not worthy or you don't have worth or value. God has made you worthy through Christ. He sees you in Christ, doesn't He? Now He knows you individually, but He sees you in Christ. He sees Christ as the head and you as a member of the body of Christ, does He not? And so He favors you, we could say. He favors you. The Father favors you in the same way He favors the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and about verse 3 or 4, it says you're accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. So He sees you in the Beloved. And you're accepted in the way the Beloved Christ is accepted. Now when we get a hold of that, we'll be praying with a whole lot more faith, won't we? We'll be interceding and we'll be expecting with a whole lot more faith. Look at it from the Greek. The Greek word is a word that we're very used to, and it's the word that is commonly translated as the word grace. And we know that the whole message of the gospel has to go back to this idea of grace. However, when we look at this with the idea of favor, and so often we don't, we think of the word grace as graciousness, but let's look at it in the attitude or in the mindset or in the understanding of the word favor. And here is part of the definition from a Greek lexicon for the word favor and the word grace in the New Testament. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness. This is God and His attitude toward His people. He finds joy in you. He finds pleasure in you, delight in you. Now you think about it, if you have children, do you find joy in those children? Not all the time, right? I mean, not all the time. But you know, overall, there's joy. You don't approve everything they do or everything they say. Just like I said, the Father doesn't necessarily approve of everything we do and everything we say. But He finds joy in us. Amen? He finds pleasure and delight in us. He finds all these things. It goes on and it says, a loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor of the merciful kindness by which God, notice, of the merciful kindness by which God exerting His holy influence upon souls. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. When we talk about God and us finding favor with God, part of that is that we are having His holy influence in our lives. That's God's favor. You say, does God have favorites? Yes. Me and you are His favorite. Every believer is His favorite. Amen? I'm His favorite. You're His favorite. He doesn't have one favorite over the other. We're all His favorites. We find favor with God. Now it goes on again of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. How many of you have been turned to Christ? All right, so that's where we are. His holy influence upon us drew us. The Bible says that He draws us by His loving kindness, and that's part of His favor. And then it goes on, after that He keeps us, strengthens us, increases us in Christian faith, knowledge, and affection, and kindles them, the believer, to the exercise of Christian virtues. And so the idea again is that God has favor for us in the fact that we've received Him, we're strengthened by Him, you know, we're encouraged by Him, all those various things. That is a sign of God's favor toward you and me. All right? And so it's so important that we understand how to walk in the favor of God, because we can be a part of God's favorites, if you will, or we can have the favor of God but not be walking in the favor of God, not be walking in the way that God would have us walk in favor with God. Now go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says it this way. It says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Among the upright there is favor. The King James Version says it this way. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Among the righteous there is favor. Now I want you to write these verses of Scripture down. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm going to tell you what it says. Many of you already know that passage of Scripture, but I want to remind you of it in light of what we're talking about. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this. It says this. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that right? And so it says that when we confess Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says that with our heart we believe in our heart. With our heart we believe unto righteousness. And so we receive righteousness by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. What is righteousness? We understand it as being right standing with God or having a right relationship with Him. The whole issue and the whole reason Jesus came is to reconcile us to Father God, to bring us together, to make us right in the sight of God. And you don't have your own righteousness. You've got His righteousness, Romans 3 tells us. You've got the very righteousness of Christ Himself. Your relationship with the Father is equivalent, in this sense, to the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, you're found in Him. You're found in Him. It says, and you can write this scripture down, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says that he being without sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus took our sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or in Christ. You are the righteousness of God. And so you have righteousness, you have right standing, and that's the opposite of condemnation, that's the opposite of inferiority complex, that's the opposite of insecurity and all of that. When we understand how righteous we are, not because of our own works which we've done, but because of faith in the graciousness of God, then we're going to pray with a boldness and an assurance that we could never pray otherwise. It's the effectual prayer of righteous men and women that exert much power, the scripture says in James 5. Amen? The prayers of righteous men and women. That means men and women, as they are more and more aware of their standing with God, of our standing with God. We need a revelation like never before. You've heard about our righteousness before if you've come here very long, but I want to get it into you again and get it into you afresh, because when we understand it, would you agree with me that there is more revelation to be had about our right standing with God? When we do have more and more understanding, the more understanding we have of it, the more we pray in faith. Scripture even talks about, I believe it's Romans 1. I know it's Romans 1, 16 and 17. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek." And then it goes on and it says this. It says that the righteousness is there from faith to faith. It's not an exact quote, but it talks about righteousness going from faith to faith. The more understanding we have of our righteousness or our right standing with God due to Christ, due to being in Christ, the more we'll go from one level of faith to another level of faith in Him and in His Word. Amen? And so it's imperative that we understand that. Say, I've got favor. Man, let's get a revelation. Let's believe God that the light's going to go off and we're going to see it like we never saw it before. I've got favor with God. You may say, well, you don't know how bad I fail. You know what? When we repent of our sin, when we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And so right away you get back into favor. I've got favor with God. No matter how many times I've failed, no matter how many times I've made a mistake, if my heart attitude is I repent and I forsake it and God forgive me, then my favor kicks back in and I've got favor with God once again. Say, I've got God's favor. Amen. It's so powerful and so needed that we get a hold of this as well. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, you can write this down as well. We're not going to turn there because of time. I got so many things to talk about with you. I don't want to, you know, I want to get it all in. If I can get it in, if not, next week we'll do part 2. Did you get that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you know, if you are a preacher, if you catch on fire, people will come just to watch you burn. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says this, it says, "For of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us," Christ Jesus, "who has been made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and wisdom." And so Christ is your righteousness. He is your sanctification. He's your holiness. Sanctification, holiness are synonymous terms, same Greek word. He is your wisdom. It's all found in Christ, isn't it? And it also says your redemption. He is our righteousness, sanctification, wisdom, and redemption. He's our everything, isn't He? I can't think of anything lacking when He's our righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and wisdom. I can't think of a thing we lack when we understand that all of that's in Him. Amen. All right, now, go with me to Proverbs 12. We're going to do a little bit of a survey through Proverbs. Is that all right? Are you getting anything out of this today? The day is young. I'm watching the clock. Don't you watch yours? It's just a little bit after 11. So I can just start now. My message will start now. Is that all right? All right, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, it says this in verse 2. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. A good man. Say a good man. Good man. Now that's, generic. Mankind, good man, good woman, good child if they're old enough to have a relationship with God. It says a good man obtains what? Favor from the Lord. But a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. And so a good man, it doesn't have a condition other than you're a good man. We already saw a righteous man. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, obtains goodwill, obtains support, obtains strength, obtains everything you need. When you say to somebody, you say, will you do me a favor? It means something you don't deserve, thank God. And God is a God of doing favors for His kids. All right, but it says here that you have to be what it says here is a good man. A good man obtains favor of the word of the Lord. The word good in the Hebrew means kind and benevolent. Good in a moral sense as opposed to evil. Kind and benevolent, good in a moral sense as opposed to evil. And so, going with this idea of kind and benevolent, God causes those who are kind and benevolent or generous, He causes them to find favor with God. God desires that we're kind to others, that we're benevolent to others, that we're generous to others. He said that those that are good men, and of course, there's also the moral factor in that as well, but that all goes with it too. Kindness is moral. Would you agree with me? Amen. All right. And it says what? That those type of people will obtain what? Favor with the Lord. Favor with the Lord. Would you go with me, if you will? Hold your place in Proverbs, but go with me, if you don't mind, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Epistle of Peter, the third chapter. Does anybody have their Bible? I can't hear them. 1 Peter chapter 3. Begin with verse 8. Chapter 3 and verse 8 of 1 Peter. Are you there? It says this, finally, all you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And so, here's our attitude toward others according to the Scripture. What are we to do? We're to what? We're to have compassion, love as brothers, tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil, but instead of returning evil for evil, returning blessing. Bless those that persecute you, Jesus said, right? Bless those who are doing wrong to you. Bless those that speak bad about you. Bless those who are not courteous toward you or loving you as brethren or whatever. Bless those. You say, but what if they're another believer? That's all right. Bless them anyway. Some for all of us to learn, amen, and be reminded of. It says, contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So again, a reaping of what you're sowing. Whatever someone does to you, how many of you know we're not to be reactionary, we're to be proactive with the love of God, with compassion, with tender mercies, etc., right? We're to be proactive. It says that if we'll bless instead of curse, it says that we'll inherit a blessing, right? Do we believe the Word? Amen. We believe the Word. And so we'll inherit a blessing if we're giving and rendering blessing in spite of whether somebody looks like or acts like they deserve one. You know, that's when the true test is. Do they act like they deserve a blessing? Or do they deserve to be reviled as well? Or do they deserve to be, hurt as well or whatever? Do they deserve that? The real test is when somebody doesn't deserve to be blessed and you bless them anyway. That's the real test. Amen? Amen. All right? Now, going on in this passage of Scripture, notice what it says in verse 10. For he who would love life. The Greek is to take pleasure in life. If you would love life, if you're going to take pleasure in life, you're going to have a life that's pleasing. And life means the fullness of life, the life like God has it. How many of you know Jesus came to give us life and that more abundantly? And so if you're going to have a life, an abundant life that is pleasing and pleasant, He tells us what to do. It says, and see good days, good days. How many of you want to see good days? He tells us what to do to see good days and to have a life that's pleasant. He tells us what to do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. If you want to have a good life, watch your mouth, right? If you want to have a blessed life, watch your words. It says, refrain your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Don't be a liar. If you want to be blessed, if you want to have a life that you love, that's a pleasant life, If you want to have a life worth living, an abundant, full life, you can't be a liar and have an abundant, full life. Are you hearing me here? Lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. We said a good man obtains favor of the Lord. It says, let him turn away from evil and do good. If you want to love life, have a pleasant life. If you want to see good days. It says, let him turn away from evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now notice verse 12. Here's a promise. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. We already substantiated who the righteous are, didn't we? All right. Now you can be righteous legally in Christ, but not be walking righteously. And to the extent that we walk righteously, now none of us are perfect, but to the extent that we walk righteously is the extent that this promise is for us and will come into our life. Notice what he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. If you're righteous in Christ today, say, the eyes of the Lord are on me. Now you think about that for a minute. If you are conscious of the fact that the eyes of the Lord are upon you, wouldn't that motivate you to act better? If you're conscious of the fact that because you're righteous in Christ, the eyes of the Lord are upon you, would you be more conscious or more aware or more careful about the words you say? I pray that we all get more of a revelation, more of an awareness of the eyes of the Lord are watching. The more aware we are of His eyes watching, as it says, the eyes are upon the righteous, His eyes are on us, and that ought to motivate us to watch what we say, motivate us to watch even what we think, because He can see what we think as well, to motivate us to treat our fellow brother, sister, fellow man in a better way, in a more godly way. Isn't that right? He's watching. Say, He's watching me.
He's watching me.
Oh. If you didn't get anything else today, maybe that's why you came. He's watching you. I didn't say it. Bible said it, right? All right, Bible said, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears. Now, He's got ears, He's got eyes, doesn't He? And His ears are open to their prayers. According to our righteous living, His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so that denotes the blessing of the Lord. When His eyes are on you and His ears are open, do you not agree with me that that means He's ready to bless? And if He's ready to bless, we could say He's ready to show favor to those whom He sees and those whom He hears their prayers. He's ready to show favor as we walk righteously before Him, right? Amen. Are you doing all right? All right, look alive, look alive, look alive. Amen. Praise God. All right? And so, the righteous. Favor is for the righteous. Favor is for the good man. Then go back to Proverbs. I mentioned to you, hold your place in Proverbs, right? Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. We won't go much longer, maybe another hour. Proverbs chapter 3. It says, beginning with verse 3 of Proverbs 3, it says this. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Say, mercy and truth. It says, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Remember it talks about Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1, and it said, you know, that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen? Here it talks about mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write what? Mercy and truth on the tablet of your heart. Yours and my heart, our inner man, if you will, not your physical pump of blood, your blood pump. We're talking about your inner man. Your inner man, my inner man, is like a tablet to be written on. And in the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And according to whatever is in your heart, it will determine your life. Isn't that right? For out of your heart are what? The issues of life. Proverbs 4 says later on. And so, what have you written on your heart? What have you written on your inner man? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so, he says that two things that should be written in your inner man are mercy and truth. Not just mercy, and not just truth. Some people, they have just truth written on their heart, and they are so legalistic, man, they pound people's head over with legalism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? You understand the difference? Mercy tempers truth, doesn't it? Mercy tempers truth. Mercy and truth go together, just like grace. They're a little different, grace and mercy, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace will temper truth, where he says as well, Paul, by the Spirit of God, said in Ephesians, speak the truth in love. Why? Because love or mercy or grace will temper that truth and make it more palatable for the hearer of that truth. Isn't that right? Your goal is not to just spew out truth and beat people on the head with it. Your goal is to speak out truth and cause there to be conviction and convincing them that that truth is something to be embraced, right? And so it says, let mercy and truth not be forsaken. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And notice the promise in verse 4. So and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Find favor and high esteem, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of man. Those that are merciful and truthful, they will even find favor in many cases, not with every man or mankind, but with some. Isn't that right? We've got proof of that in many other scriptures as well. All right? And so we have what? We have the favor. Favor is for the righteous, the good man. It's also for those that walk in mercy and truth. And truth is the Word. The more we walk in the Word of God, the more God will cause His favor to come upon us. Walking out the Word of God in love, because love is part of the Word, isn't it? All right? Now look at the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Are you getting anything out of this? Proverbs chapter 8. Say, I've got favor with God. I'm one of God's favorites. Oh, I want that to just settle down on the inside of us. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs the 8th chapter. And it says in verse 35, it reads this way. For whoever finds me. Now in the context of that, me is referring to wisdom. For whoever finds me, and that's the wisdom from above, as James distinguishes between the wisdom from above and the wisdom from beneath. He says, whoever finds me, that's godly wisdom, will find life and obtains favor from the Lord. And so, who finds favor? Who are those that have favor from God? The righteous man, the good man, the one that binds mercy and truth and writes it on their heart, and the one who what? The one who has this particular passage, and my mind just went blank. What did I just read, folks? Wisdom. There you go. Seeks it out with all their heart. Seeks out wisdom with all their heart. All right? And so those four things we can see from the Scripture, those are the ones that have the favor of God operating in their life. And we want to walk in it. We want it to operate in our life. Not just say we've got it, but to have it operate in our life. Now go with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. We're looking at a lot of Scriptures. We'll have some more PowerPoint in a couple of minutes. But Hebrews chapter 4. The favor of God, walking in the favor of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. We want to read this passage. It's familiar to many of us, but let's read it in the light of what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now notice, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We've read that 100 times, haven't we? But let's just replace the word grace with a very credible, very legitimate word, and let's look at it a little bit differently. Notice what it says. Let us come boldly to the throne of favor. That kind of takes on a whole new light to me. I don't know about you, but it takes on a whole different light to me. Let's come boldly to the throne of favor. Because God is a God that gives favor to those that love Him. Is that not right? All right? And so He says, let us go to the throne of favor. When we go to pray, and it's referring to prayer, it's referring to worship as well. But let's understand it here. Let's understand as we go to pray, whether it be as individuals, whether it be corporately, Tuesday nights when we meet for prayer, or the end of this month when we gather for 3 nights of prayer. Let's look at, you know what? I'm going to prayer, and I'm going before the throne of favor. I've got favor with God. When you think about it being a throne of favor, man, you think, man, I can't lose. I can't lose. I'm going to the throne of favor. It's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of punishment. It's a throne of favor, the throne of grace. Amen. And so again, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of favor that we may obtain mercy Because of His favor, He gives us mercy, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we're going to the throne of favor in prayer. We're going to God's throne. Amen? And there's mercy and there's grace and there's help in time of need. Because I'm His favorite and you're His favorite. We've got favor with God. Amen. All right, go with me now. We're going to look at several scriptures, but are you doing all right?
Yes.
You know, it's just snowy out there and cold. You don't have anywhere to go, do you? And I think if all goes well, we'll have coffee at the end and tea if you want it. And we'll just enjoy ourselves and let everybody else just stay home and do whatever they do. But anyway, shovel. They're probably shoveling. We're not shoveling. Maybe you already did. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm going to church first. I didn't shovel. I just backed right out through that snowman like a bulldozer. I'm telling you, I'm going to church. Amen. And then, you know, if you wait long enough, your neighbor comes as he did and snow blows you out. Amen. So you just wait long enough. Amen. God bless my neighbor. Amen. Acts 2. Notice what it says, if I can get there. Acts 2's got a lot of verses. Acts 2, let's start with verse 43 of Acts chapter 2. It says this, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." Notice now, praising God and having favor with all the people. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now I submit to you this idea. When you find favor with God, God will turn it around so people also have favor for you. And I'll tell you, there is so much scripture for this. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'm going to say you're going to find an abundance of people. All of a sudden you're finding favor with that. When you find favor with God, He causes people to have favor for you as well. That's a biblical principle. I'm going to prove it to you in a few minutes if you have the time. Do you have the time? All right. It says about Samuel in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 26. You don't have to turn there. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 26. "And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men." He grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Now, you know, going back to this passage in Acts chapter 2, think about Acts chapter 2. They were praising God. They were eating together. They were having fellowship with one another. They were feasting on the Word of God. And it says concerning the people there that as they were praising God, they were praising God and they were finding favor with the people, with all the people. And why? Because God had favor upon them. They were experiencing the favor of God. And as a result, people were having favor for them. And that means all the people out there. And then it says the Lord added to the church. And so when we exercise or walk in the favor of God, it causes us to find favor with those outside even the church. And as we find favor with them, there are those that come to Christ. God's favor then, therefore, will lead us into reaping more people into the kingdom of God. We ought to be believing God for that, don't you think? Man, I'm a soul winner because I've got God's favor on me. I can win the loss. You know, thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for your blessing. But God, there's nothing greater than I'm a soul winner because I find favor with you. Amen. I can get people filled with the Holy Ghost because I've got God's favor. I can get people healed in the name of Jesus because I've got the favor of God. He finds delight in me. He can trust me. He depends upon me. I've got His favor. I've got favor with people as a result. And I can pray for people and see results. Amen? Because I'm one of God's favorites. How about you? Are you doing all right? Amen. Now, you know, an example of that, you know, we've got a lot of examples in our life. You know, even with this building, you know, we found favor with the town board in getting this building. I'm telling you, I was amazed the favor we found. You know, I guess a lot of times when builders or people want to buy commercial buildings, when they go before the board, you know, they have an architect a lot of times present their plans and all of that. Well, we didn't hire an architect. It was just good old me. And so, you know, we had some plans that were written and we had some old blueprints and went before the board and presented it to the board. This is what we want to do with that building because the board, you know, they need to know that they have power. They need to feel like they've got some authority. And so we went before the board, and I told them what we wanted to do and everything, and they sent us back, and they said, we want to know what every plant is. They want to know what every tree was on the property. One of them did. One of them wanted to know that, and the reason why is because he wanted to feel like he had some power, see. Because who cares how many trees are on the property? Really, you think about it, right? But nevertheless, we went ahead with that and got him some trees and told him what the trees were and the plants were. I've got a nephew who owns a landscaping company, and he knows the trees. He knows the plants. So my nephew came, and he checked it all out, wrote it all out, and went back and presented and did everything they wanted us to do. And, man, we found such favor. And one of them finally stood up at the end. He said, Pastor Stonehenge, I want you to know that we've had professionals come in here and present their plans, and you did a better job than them. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because of the favor of God. I almost said, well, good, because if this pastoring doesn't work out, I know what else I can do. Amen. Oh, but you know, we found favor with the sellers of the building because they gave us the keys before we bought it, before we paid one penny. They said, you can go in and out all you want. Gave us the keys to the building. I mean, that's favor, isn't it? I mean, you know, they came down in price tremendously. I mean, we bought it for a song and a dance just about, in a way, didn't we? Compared to the value. So just finding favor. We found favor this morning. John McCarthy mentioned to me something that happened this morning. We found favor because a couple of town or state trucks went through our parking lot and they were still running their sand and salt. And we got some free sand and salt because they forgot to shut it off or something. They just went through the parking lot. I believe that's favor, don't you? We believe God for things like that. Favor from God. Amen. And then we find favor with man. In Proverbs 16:7, you don't have to go there, but just write it down because it'll bless you. It says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, and that means favor, doesn't it? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. And so when a man's ways please the Lord, even your enemies, even the people that hate you, they're going to be at peace with you because there's something about that guy. I don't know what it is. I have a hard time hating him or something. I want to hate that guy, but I just can't hate him. I don't know why. Another thing about favor, not only does favor come when we have favor with God, we have favor with others, but also a favor brings promotion. And I'd like you to go if you don't mind, and I know I've been talking for quite a while, although maybe the clock's going slow. I don't know. But if you go to Genesis 39, was this worth coming? I thought to myself, you know, Lord, if people are going to come out in this weather, it better be good. I need your favor, God. Amen. It better be good. It's got to be worthwhile or people are not going to come, especially in this weather. All right. And so Genesis 39, and let's look at this. Favor brings promotion. Say it with me. Favor brings promotion. Not only does favor with God cause people to be having favor for us, but favor brings promotion. And man, you talk about scriptures for this. There's no denying this, that favor with God will bring promotion because you're finding favor with people as well. And it says in Genesis 39, some of us need this in our day with the financial crisis and all this. Some of us need to have our faith built in this area of finding favor. You know, there can be a word out there, you know, people, the news broadcasts say, well, there's just nobody hiring. There's nobody hiring. Yeah, but they don't have favor like I do. Amen. Amen? I mean, they just don't have the favor that I got. I mean, there's no job out there but McDonald's. Yeah, but you know what? They don't know who I know. I know the top guy. And that's God Himself. Amen? Amen. And so I've got favor. I've got favor. But notice now, in Genesis 39, beginning with verse 1, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. We're not going to go into all the previous things, but you know Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery because they hated him and envied him and all those things. Then it says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, I want you to remember, Joseph at this point was a slave. And it says that in spite of the fact that he was a slave, the Lord was with him and the Lord made him successful. Do you know, no matter what state of life you're in, no matter what status, no matter what, you know, social realm you might be in or social status you're in, how many of you know when you have God with you, which is the favor of God, when you've got the favor of God, He'll make you a successful man in whatever you're doing. Amen. Or woman. Now notice it says this, verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. See, other people see it. The master saw, you say this is for Joseph, not for you. But it is for you because you've got a better covenant than Joseph. established upon better promises. Isn't that right? And so it says, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. Notice, even others saw. Others will see the favor of God. The Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Would you agree with me that that's favor? Notice, so Joseph found favor in his sight. Because this man saw the favor of God on Joseph, then all of a sudden this man had favor for Joseph as well. People ought to see that you're favored of God. And it's nothing you say, it's how you are. It's how you do. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Notice that added part. For Joseph's sake, the Egyptian was blessed. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Of course, you know the story. Potiphar's wife saw Joseph. Joseph apparently is an extremely handsome man. I mean, the Bible makes that very clear, and it even talks about historically, I guess, that Potiphar's wife was a virtuous woman before Joseph came around because she just acquired, you know, Satan put that seed thought in her mind. It goes on and it says this. Let's go down to save time. The fact that he rejected her and resisted temptation. In verse 9, there's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Everybody say, Joseph was righteous. Joseph was a good man. And you know what? He had favor with God because of this. And so, of course, Potiphar's wife lied. And Potiphar got upset, could have killed him if he wanted to, could have had the death sentence on him. But instead, he was thrown into prison. Now, notice now, in verse 20 of this same chapter, it says, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord, there it is again, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor inside of the keeper of the prison. You see, when you have favor with God, you may have things come against you. You may have people lying about you. You may have people doing bad things to you. But no matter what, when you maintain your integrity and your honor of God and you have that favor of the Lord, no matter where you end up, you're going to rise to the top. And God's going to make sure that you find favor in the sight of men. We've got plenty of Bible for it. Are you understanding anything I'm saying? So, you know, you ought to be believing God. You know what? I'm a righteous man or a righteous woman. I attempt to do what is good and right in the sight of God. And you know what? Because of that, I find favor with my boss. I find favor with my neighbor who's just a mean thing. I find favor with my mother-in-law. I find favor with everybody I come in contact with. I find favor because I've got favor with God. I can see when I mention mother-in-law, some of you don't have faith for that, but just keep believing it. Amen. Get that faith built up for that. Amen? All right. And so wherever he went, he found favor. He rose to the top. Of course, as you know, it went on. And eventually, Joseph was brought out of prison to Egypt, interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And from that pit, he came to the palace, didn't he? And why? Because of the favor of God. And he didn't compromise his integrity. He didn't compromise his faithfulness to God. He didn't compromise his life in God when he was in the pit, did he? He stayed true. And because he stayed true, God's favor stayed upon him. And God got him out of there. And he became second in command of all of Egypt and saved the world from famine, didn't he? In fact, you know, the name that Pharaoh gave Joseph, Joseph is such a picture of Christ, we don't have time to go into it, but the name Pharaoh gave Joseph meant Savior of the world, a picture of Christ. Why? Because God gave Joseph a dream as to how to maintain or how to have enough food for the 7 years of famine that were coming. Amen? Now go to Daniel, if you don't mind. Are you doing all right? Everybody still okay? Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1, beginning with verse 8, it reads this way. We'll close with this. I've got more notes, but I'm out of time. Daniel chapter 1, I think I started early, and I don't know. How long I've been speaking? I did? That's it? Oh, I got lots of time. Daniel chapter 1, are you there? Daniel chapter 1, let's start here, beginning with verse 8. It reads this way. Now, you say, well, that was Joseph. How about Daniel? It says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Of course, Daniel was taken into slavery as well, virtually, into Babylon with Israel. And it says here with a portion that he decided he was not going to defile himself. Why? Because those things were things that symbolized the king's worship as well. Nor with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Why? Because Daniel had favor with God. And when Daniel had favor with God, then he made sure. In fact, here it says that God did something apparently to that eunuch's heart and caused that eunuch's heart to just find favor with Daniel. Isn't that amazing? You know, God can work in people's hearts. He can work in the most meanest, ugly people you might come across. He can work in their hearts to have them find favor with you. They don't even know why. And it goes on. And of course, a lot of the story we won't read, but notice down in verse 19. After a while, it says, the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found, like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding. Now, everybody be thinking favor. Amen? Notice, now, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in all of his realm. 10 times better. I'll tell you what, praise God, I've got favor with God, and I've got 10 times more wisdom and understanding than anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Amen. Just believe in God for that, amen? But you know what? If Daniel could, why not us? We got a better covenant with better promises, amen? And you know, in a real way, those that don't know Christ do not have the wisdom or the understanding that you and I have. Because there's a spiritual wisdom and understanding that they cannot discern because we've got to have the Spirit of Christ within us to discern it. Isn't that right? And so Daniel found favor with God, and therefore he had favor with man. And it goes on and on about these kinds of things. And again, substantiating the fact that you and I can have that kind of favor as well. All right? We talked about the fact in Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, that we are compassed about, the righteous are compassed about with favor, the favor of God. That has the idea to be abundantly blessed, to shower us with blessings. Those that are righteous are compassed about and surrounded with favor. We need to be believing God for that, amen? We need to come boldly to the throne of favor so that favor is more and more a part of our life. And can I go to one more passage? Being Peggy's keeping track of time, I find I got time. Let's go to 1 Samuel, and this will be. I've got more, but we won't do that. Go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, beginning with verse 1. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. That was a terrible, heart-wrenching thing, I'm sure, for those men. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning. Think about David. Now his wives have been taken, probably some kids as well. Wives have been taken, and now all the other men want to kill him. I guess he would have been distressed, wouldn't he? Now, I think it's safe to say none of you have had these problems, right? Now, don't be thinking, I hope somebody does steal my wife. No, don't say that. They took their wives, and they took all that they had. They took everything and burned everything else. And then it says, he's greatly distressed. People wanted to kill him. All the men wanted to kill him. And it says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David, notice now, David, if it's King James, you say it says encourage. Here it's strengthen. Strengthen is a little bit better for us. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, there's a lot to be said about that, and I have found this to be so essential, and it's essential for every one of us. You know, you may be going through all sorts of trials. David was going through some terrible trials. But David didn't wait for somebody else to strengthen him. It says that he strengthened himself in the Lord.
Every one of us with a relationship with God, we can take that opportunity whenever we're going through anything. You know, David could have got all despondent. He could have ran for his life. He could have, suicidal, whatever. He could have been all sorts of emotional roller coaster going through his mind. But instead, what did he do? He turned his attention toward God, and it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Strengthened himself in the Lord. And you know what? Because of that strengthening in the Lord, he found favor. And it says in verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He's seeking after God. He's asking God, God, what must I do? Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue him. Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Everybody say recover all. The favor of God will cause us to recover everything the enemy has stolen from us. It goes on and mentions things, but look at verse 18 to save time. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. And a point again is, David recovered all. You know what? When we are finding favor with God, we get victory over the enemy. And you know what? You may think, you know, I've got relationships that have been broken, whether it be, your parents, your siblings, other friends that maybe there's been some severing go on. Maybe it is you've been through a divorce or whatever it is. But you know what? There can be a recovering. And I'm not saying if you're divorced, you're necessarily going to get remarried to that same person. But you know what? You can recover. You can recover emotionally. You can recover in knowing who you are in Christ and everything else. There is recovery in these things. When we find favor with God, God causes us to defeat the enemy and to recover what the enemy has stolen from us. And the enemy, I dare say, has stolen something from everybody, because that's his specialty, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know, with that, not only did he recover relationships with his spouses and they with their children, whatever, but they recovered their material, things that had been stolen away. They recovered their joy, didn't they? Because they had been distressed. You know, you might be going through depression or go through depression and discouragement and everything. I'll tell you, you know, the things that attack us can cause all sorts of emotional things, but they recovered everything. And many times we think, only the material things. And even here, only the people, but they recovered their strength. They recovered their joy. They recovered their love for God. I'm sure David was a lover of God, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And anything the enemy might try to steal from us, because of God's favor, as we tap into that favor of God by coming to the throne of favor, David went and inquired of the Lord, didn't he? He went to the throne to find favor. And that favor brought him the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me, and if the worship team would come? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you for favor. We thank you, Father God, that because of Christ, we are pleasing in your sight. Because of Christ, you find joy and delight in us. And you desire to pour out your blessings upon the righteous, the good, those that bind mercy and truth to their hearts, those that walk in your wisdom and seek out your wisdom. Father, you desire to reveal your favor in their lives. Father God, I just pray that something said today would just go down deep into people's hearts, Father God, whatever they may need. Maybe they've got a financial crisis. If that be the case, we're thanking you that you have favor in that financial crisis. Maybe they have a health crisis. And Father, we thank you that in the midst of that health crisis, you have favor for us, Father God. Whatever it may be, we thank you, Lord God, that you've got we've got the favor of God available to us, because we're right in your sight by faith in Christ, Father God. And Father God, we just thank you as we go to the throne of favor that there is grace and mercy to help us in our time of need, Father God. We praise you and give you glory for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord for a minute. Whatever's on your heart, folks. Amen.
I praise you. I lift my hands and sing. Embrace you. I will embrace you, my Savior and my King.
Sing that some more. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's just sing that song one more time. Let's just sing that again and worship God for a minute. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I praise you, my Savior, oh Jesus, we embrace you, oh Jesus, my Savior and my King, oh Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just remain in an attitude of prayer. And I wonder if there's anybody here, first of all, and you would say, I need the favor of God in that I need salvation. I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I accepted Him many years ago, but I need to say, Jesus, I've gone my own way. I've been a prodigal son or daughter, and I need to make You Lord of my life afresh. And I want to pray with you. And then on top of that, if you need prayer, if you need prayer for a breakthrough, if you need prayer for favor in another area, maybe you're already saved, and I'm sure most of us are here today, but you need favor in the area of finances. Maybe you need favor to find a job, or you need favor in the area of your health. I want you to know that God has favor for you today. And so if that covers you, whatever way, and maybe even more, other things, whatever it is that you might need favor for, I'd like to pray with you. If you just come on up and just be bold and say, you know what, we're just here as a family of God, and we just want to pray together and believe God together. If that's you, just come on up. Let's pray together right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Tony? Let's just agree with Tony for favor pertaining to her back. Her back is hurting, and not in good shape, but you know what? Jesus is the healer. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for Tony.